Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for another day. And Lord, again, we just ask your blessing upon camp, upon the little kids here. Lord, the older boys, bless them today. Come to them. Thank you for what you've done for them so far. Lord, it's not over quite yet. We believe today again for your working in their lives. Lord, we're not quite done either. We're believing today again for you to work in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, we thank you. Thank you that you are working. We trust you. Continue, Lord. It's our confidence. It's our faith that you're working right now. Lord, and in this meeting this morning, that you'll have your way. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's sing 118 in the white book. 118 in the white book. Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, dear Lord. Sister Mary, Andrew out the other night when at the end of that couple nights ago meeting, I just asked some who have had experience in learning how to drink from that fountain, and I just asked if anybody could help us. How do you do that? And as we mentioned again yesterday, somebody said, just remind Jesus or remind yourself that you love him. Just say, Lord, I love you. Jesus, I love you. And Sister Mary said to us, what she found was helpful is that she got a word from the Lord every day. Maybe not 9 chapters worth, or maybe not even a chapter, but just a verse. Just a word from the Lord every day, every day. And then to meditate on that word, and she said that to her was like drinking at the fountain. That helped her to drink. As she just imbibed that word of God and let it mull over in her soul and in her heart and in her mind. And that's why it's good to read the Bible every day. And to read it with the intent, Lord, as Martin Luther, I don't know if he taught it, but a prayer that he prayed when he got to the scripture was, teach me, teach me, teach me. He would pray before reading the Bible and imploring that the Lord would have something for him to learn, to study, to get into his heart. Teach me, Lord, your word, and let it go into my heart that I might not sin against you. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, some of you already this morning, maybe all of you already this morning, have opened up your Bibles, and you'd have what we call devotions. And you've read something from the Bible, but don't just read it to do it and get it out of the way. That's religion. That's the form, and we can get into a catechism, and we've done our job because we've read our portion. But when you read that portion, say, Lord, now every word is quick, it's living, it's powerful. Every word has the ability to perform a miracle in my soul, to work in me life and strength or reproof or correction or whatever it might be. And then just as you think of what you've read, just give yourself to it. You know, my wife paints those scripture verses down there. You see them in the boathouse, and I see them all over my house and up and down and all around. I got more signs painted than I know what to do with. But she likes to do that because she said it gives her a chance. You know, it doesn't happen in an instant. She doesn't just pick up the brush and go, ch-ch-ch, done. But it takes time. Every letter has to be written out. And she said, I have an opportunity then to think about that Bible verse for a couple hours, at least. And to meditate on that Bible verse and that truth and that scripture. And that's how the Lord helps us. That's how he strengthens us. By his Spirit, by his Word, in these different ways. And these are, again, I go back to the ways of the Lord. And they need to be learned. They're simple. And sometimes they're too simple. Kind of dismiss them. We want to get into something more lofty or, you know, something that exercises our mental powers more. And the ways of the Lord are so simple that a child can understand them. And yet they're so profound that we never get to the end of them. How do you figure that out? I don't know. But always more of his fullness, more of him in his word. And I've read the Bible for a lot of years now. And I was brought up in a home where we read the Bible, and my Bible was taught to me. And Oh, we learned scripture in Sunday school and committed chapters to memory, and so I've been steeped in learning the Bible, but yet the more I read it and think about it, it's like sometimes you've never read it before. You've never seen it quite that way before. God just brings a truth or some aspect of a truth, and how could I have missed that? There's such a depth and a richness to the Word of God. And so when you read it today, or when you, as you've read it this morning, now meditate on that Word and think about it. Lord, speak to me from that Word. Oh, precious Word that Jesus said. And oh, Lord, how thankful you are for the Bible. As Sister Robinson said, it's that one book, the only book. It's our passport to glory. And Lord, we pray that we might know our passport. And Lord, help us to carry it with us. Lord, and to bring it all the time in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls. Thy Word, Lord, we pray. Even today, dear Lord, illumine us. Spirit of God, instruct us in your Word. Lord, your Word brings us to the feet of Jesus. No matter where we read, no matter what we read, it gets back to you. It gets back to you. You are wonderful and you are precious. And every aspect of truth, Lord, it warms our hearts and it teaches us more about you and how hungry we are to learn your Word and to know your Word. And so, Lord, we pray that we might do our diligent part to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. Workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In your name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's sing also in our hymn book 161. I believe standing on the promises of God. 161. Promises of God are in the Bible? More than 10?
Hundreds. 8,000.
I don't know. I did know once. Somebody said it one time, and I can't remember what it was. And it also then, you have to define what you mean by promise. Sometimes some of those names, the names of the Lord, Jehovah God, are promises. Jehovah Rapha. That's kind of a promise. And so it all depends on how you define promise. But there are, 8,000, 1,000, hundreds. There are lots of them, aren't there? Lots of them. And if we don't know them, then we can't stand on them. We've got to know the Word of God and the promises of God. And when earlier I was mentioning that verse that we read, that we are to rightly divide the Word of truth, study the Scriptures so that we can rightly divide. And I found it. I found what I wanted to find. I lost it. I found it again. Now, I don't know, maybe this will be a blessing to somebody. This is the examination of a candidate to be a church member to determine the suitability of his membership in a local church. And so here's what happened. A church council was examining a candidate for membership. One of the questions they asked him was, "What part of the Bible do you like the best?" I like the New Testament best, the man replied. Well, what book in the New Testament? Oh, I like the book of parables. Would you kindly relate one of those parables to us? So the uncertain candidate bluffed his way through as follows. Once upon a time, a man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, and the thorns grew up and choked him. He went on and met the Queen of Sheba, and she gave him 1,000 talents of gold and silver and 100 changes of raiment, and he got in his chariot and drove furiously. And when he was driving along under a tree, his hair got caught in a limb and left him hanging there. He hung there many days and nights. Ravens brought him food to eat and drink. And one night while he was hanging there, his wife Delilah came and cut off his hair. And he dropped and fell to a stony ground, and it began to rain, and it rained 40 days and 40 nights, and he hid himself in the cave. And he went on, and he met a man who said, "Come in and take supper with me." But he said, "I cannot come, for I have married a wife." And the man went out into the highways and byways and compelled him to come in. He went on and came to Jerusalem, and he saw the Queen Jezebel sitting high up in a window. And when she saw him, she laughed, and he said, "Throw her down out of there." And they threw her down. And he said, "Throw her down again." And they threw her down 70 times 7. And of the fragments they picked up, 12 baskets full. Now whose wife shall she be in the judgment? There was no one in the council who felt qualified to question the candidate further, for each council member suspected that his own unorganized Bible knowledge was as sketchy as that of the candidate. The man was voted into the church. I don't imagine it's a true story. He knew his Bible. I mean, every part of that was Bible. He just didn't really rightly divide it. Jezebel really did get thrown down, but there weren't 12 baskets of her that they gathered up. See, it's good to know the Bible, but it's good to know when to know the Bible and how to put the Bible together. And this is a little facetious, I guess, or out there. But sometimes, if we really don't know the promises of God, sometimes we can even claim the promises of God, and they're really not what it's intended to be. And we need to get the whole picture of God's Word and hide it in our hearts. And so I'm thankful this morning for these songs that teach us and for God's Word. And let's sing those last two verses. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God.